last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 29th para, late Juz was recited, starting with Surah Mulk, as was done in the Ta'aleem yesterday, that this is a Surah which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam desired, should be in the heart of every Ummati, we should try to memorize the Surah, and there are great virtues mentioned. This is a Surah Mani'ah, Munjiyah, it will save a person from the punishment of the Qabr, and especially a person who recites it every night, we should make it our habit, practice after Maghrib Salah, as it mentioned also, and also it comes in the Ta'aleem. Between Maghrib and Isha, we try to read Surah Mulk and Surah Sajda. These two surahs, they are great benefits for them. And this surah especially, it helps a person from the punishment of the grave. It protects and saves a person. So really, we should try to practice upon it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah mentions his milkiyat, his badshahat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner and creator of everything. When Allah has created the heavens and the earth, Allah has created life and death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all of these things, the stars and whatever you see. Allah is the king. So when Allah is the king, you must become a loyal servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person doesn't become a loyal servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in any country, then what happens is locked up in jail. So the kuffar and disbelievers will be locked up in the jail of Jahannam, Azabu Jahannam. And it's a very evil place, evil jail, which these people will be kept. So rather, be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, I have created, khalaqal mawta wal hayat. Allah created death, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created life. Allah ta'ala mentions death first before life. So there are many reasons the ulama have given, as we have heard from Hazrat from Murad al-Ghani Pulpuri, rahmatullah alayhi, that a person who keeps death in front of him, before his life, he keeps death in front of him, his life will become a true life. That is why Allah ta'ala mentions death first, even though death comes later on, but keep death always in front of a person, your life will become a true life. And then Allah says, why have I sent you in this world? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to test you, which one of you will do the best of actions? And Allah Ta'ala did not say أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا, who does the most amount of actions, but the best. Allah wants person, and Allah wants perfection and beauty in a person's actions. And the ulama say that beauty will come with two things: ittiba'i sunnat, following the sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and with ikhlas, with sincerity. The more sincerity and the more ittiba' of sunnah there is more husn and beauty in action, and this is beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to one narration, what's the meaning of ayyukum ahsanu amala? There's three tafsirs of it. Ayyukum atamu aqlan wa fahma. Allah is testing to see who's got the most perfect aqal and understanding and intelligence. He's using his brains in the right direction for the right things. He's using his mind for intentions. He's making a lot of intentions, many different things, but he's using his mind in the right direction. أَيُّكُمْ أَسْرَعُوا إِلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, which one of you is hastening faster in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying that Allah must be happy with me and seeing where can I get good actions, what action can I do? So Allah is testing a person to see this. And أَيُّكُمْ أَوْرَعُوا عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ, which one of you is abstaining, staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is testing a person. That's why Allah has sent us in this world. Allah is testing a person, and accordingly Allah will reward a person or Allah will punish a person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next ruku also of Surah Mulk, he mentions that Allah has got full control over everything in the world. The animals and the plantations and all the armies of the world is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Normally a king feels, or a person who got some power and authority, he feels, I got my army and I can. Allah says, I've got all the armies in the world. How, if you're going to be disobedient to me, I'll use my armies and my armies will completely destroy you. So you've got no chance at all. So why are you running away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Your rosy also is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاؤُكُمْ غَوْرًا, Allah says, if your water goes into the ground, who will bring the water back for you people? There's no one who can bring the water back for you people. One person listening to this ayat of the Quran, he made a mock of it. And that is why to make a mock of any part of deen is very dangerous. So he said, no, I'll take my spade and my shovel and I'll go and dig in the ground and I'll take out the water. He made a mock of this ice of the Quran Kareem. So immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out the ice the water from his eyes. And he became blind. And he was maybe said to him in a dream that you said you can get the water from the ground. Get your own water from your own face. Put the water in that eyes. You won't be able to do so. So Allah ta'ala has got full control. And all the armies in the world are held by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Surah Al-Qalam. In Surah Al-Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the pen. That if you people claim that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a liar, na'udhu billah, he's majnoon, he's mad, then you bring one Qur'an Kareem like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought, and whatever has been written down, bring one Qur'an Sharif, and let's see now, can you beat the challenge of the Qur'an Kareem? People will never be able to do it. Oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't worry what these people are saying about you. Wa inna laka la ajran khayran mamnoon, you've got such a reward which will never come to an end. And the akhlaq and charity which you have got, la'ala khuluqin azim, you are on top of beautiful character. You are full control over beautiful character. And not khuluqi hasan only, but khuluqi azim. The highest level of akhlaq in character, someone does wrong to you and you do good to that person, this is the highest level of akhlaq in character, which was given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here 10 evil qualities of one kafir in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He spoke bad of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one bad thing. So Allah ta'ala gave 10 answers to him. Allah ta'ala spoke over 10 of his evil qualities. Ulama say when a person speaks good of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one durood we sent, Allah will send 10 mercies down. And this person spoke ill of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Allah ta'ala said 10 evils of that person. And Allah ta'ala mentioned all the evil qualities which a person should look into the Quran Kareem, taking false qasams, to be a zaleel and a lowly person, carrying tales and going around and speaking, stopping people from good, exceeding the bounds, committing gunas and sins, all of these evil gunas. And why? An kana za mali wa banin. Just because he's got money and he's got a lot of children and he's got family members, so he thinks I'm a great person. But Allah Ta'ala says, when you do not accept the Quran Kareem, then, and you do not appreciate the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then many times Allah Ta'ala snatches it away. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions the incident of the people of the garden, beautiful garden they had. The father used to give a lot of charity, and when he passed away, the three sons amongst themselves decided that we can't give so much of charity, and we try to keep all the produce for ourselves. Why must we give charity? All our money is going away. One of them tried to explain, the middle one tried to explain, the intelligent one, that when you say this, we're going to take everything away. You take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But anyhow, and he tried to explain to them that spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they didn't want to listen. And the next day they went out, and they came to the garden, and they see every single thing of theirs was completely destroyed. Because why? They were not prepared. At that time was the zakat, whatever they're supposed to have given. So they destroyed all of that bounties which Allah had given them. The punishment came from the skies. Some ulama say they actually went to this place where the Ashabul the people of this place, Mawlana Ahmad Lasab, Dawud Barakatu, mentioned, he said, I went to this place, and I till today, this place is completely barren. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it as an example for us till Qiyamah, to see that these people, they didn't make qadr and value what Allah ta'ala had given to them. Allah ta'ala destroyed it. Similarly, a person doesn't make qadr of the Quran Kareem, who doesn't value the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that person, his heart will be barren, his heart will be completely destroyed. May Allah ta'ala protect and save us, that we must value what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. The next surah is Surah Al-Haqqa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about past nations, that even in this world, when they disbelieved in the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, then they were completely destroyed. And huge, huge, powerful nations, like Qawmi Aad, they were such a powerful nation. They said, who is stronger than us? But they were destroyed with a wind. The wind is the smallest of Allah's creations, Allah's armies. But they were completely destroyed. 7 nights and 8 days, the wind came, and it crushed them into pieces. Fir'aun and his people came, they also were completely destroyed. And that's only in the dunya. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the day of Qiyamah, there will be two groups. There will be those people who will be given the book of deeds in their right hand. What and what Allah will give to them. They will actually come around people, tell the people, come and see my kitab. I knew I'm going to meet the day of Qiyamah. I am going to have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll be now in great, great enjoyment in the highest levels of Jannah. The fruit of Jannah will be very close to him. Easily he'll be able to take it. It will be said to him now, eat and drink with great enjoyment and comfort because of the days in the past when you made sacrifice in Qurbani, especially the fasting in the month of Ramadan, you fasted. So those days which had passed in this world, now in place of the day, you can eat and drink and enjoy yourself. On the other hand, those people will be given the book of deeds in the left hand. They will say, I wish I wasn't given my book. وَلَمْ أَدْرِي مَا حِسَابِي. I wish I never knew what this hisab kitab was, and this answering the question on the day of Qiyamah. I wish I could die now. But all of his money will not be of any help to him. His sultanate and his kingdom which he had will be completely destroyed. It will be said, خُذُوهُ فَهُلُّ. Take him now and bind him up in chains and throw him into the fire of Jahannam, and in a chain which is 70 ziraz long, 70 hands long. Tie him up. According to some tafsir, actually will go through his body. The chains will be taken, pushed through his body, and he will be flung in the fire of Jahannam. Allah protect and save us. And what was the reason for this year? La yu'minu billahi al-azim. He didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was so great. He did not encourage people to feed the poor people. He did not fulfill the rights of Allah ta'ala. He did not fulfill the rights of human beings. Because of this year, he'll be completely destroyed. The next surah is Surah Ma'arij. Here also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the day of Qiyamah and what will happen on the day of Qiyamah, where some people feel Qiyamah is very fast. Allah says, وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. We see it to be very close. A person when he's born, when he's young, 10 years, 15 years, says, hey, I've got a long life still. When I get old, I'll still worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one could guarantee. And he thinks, my life is so old, I've got a long life still. But when he reaches the age of 80, 90, and you ask him, he says, my life went. Hazrat Unwa alayhi salam is famous about him. Idris Khan Nehlevi rahmatullahi alayhi, he lived for 1050 years in the world. At the age of 40 he got Nabuwat, and then 950 years he gave Dawat, and another 60 years he lived thereafter. So 1050 years he lived. At the time of death, when he was leaving this world, then the angel of death came and asked him, said, "Oh Nuh alayhi salam, how did you find your life?" He said, "You know, my life, I found it so fast. Like, I came to a house, I entered the door, I went through the house, and I came out from the back door. So quickly my life went, 1050 years. We only live 50 years in this world. Such a short life. When a person at the time of death comes, as in Surah Qiyamah will be mentioned there, then it's too late for a person now to go back in the world and prepare for the life of the year after. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people regard it as far, but the day of Qiyamah is very close. Well, what will happen on the day of Qiyamah? That no friend will even ask about his friend, even though they will see one another. And on that day, the mujrim and the sinner will wish, when he will see the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "I wish I can save myself with my own children. Let them go in a get fire. They be destroyed, but I must save myself." And his wife also, and his brother also, and his family members who used to help and assist him in this world. And whoever is on the surface of the earth, they will want to give it in fidya, in recompense, so that he can be saved. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, never ever. It will never happen to such a person. And man by nature, unfortunately, he's got this evil quality within him. If some goodness comes to him, he doesn't want to give it to other people. He doesn't want to benefit others. And when harm comes to a person, then a person he loses himself. He doesn't have the quality of sabr. Allah ta'ala says, but if you've got certain qualities in your life, then you will have good akhlaq and character. What are the qualities a person must have? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 8 qualities. The first one is musallin, those who are performing their salat. And they are always particular about their salat. Salatim da'imun. They are fulfilling the rites of salat. And the second one is fi amwalim haqqum ma'lum. They've got a certain portion in their wealth which they are giving to the people. Those people who ask and those who don't ask. But they are making sure they're fulfilling their zakat. And other rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they are fulfilling. And those people who believe in the day of Qiyamah, they got very strong belief regarding the day of Qiyamah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنَ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. Those people who fear the azab and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one is safe from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth quality Allah mentions, those people who are protecting their private parts, their chastity and their modesty, except upon their wives, where permission is given, they fulfill their desires with their wives or their slave girls in the past eras it was found, then فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. There is no malamah, there is no blame upon such people, that they fulfill their desires. But, the ulama writes so beautifully, there is no malamah, there is no blame upon a person who fulfills his desires, but it should not be the object of a person's life. All the time a person, this is the sum total of his mind, for fulfilling the desires of his stomach, eating, and fulfilling the desires of his private part. The whole week he's working, just for the weekend so I can enjoy myself, fulfill my desires, and then the next week starts again. And unfortunately, most non-Muslim people, and many of our Muslim people also are involved in this, whole week you work just to enjoyment in the weekend, all the money is splashed and destroyed and wasted. You just fulfill your desires and you're eating the best of food and then you're starting the next week again. This is not what the life of a Muslim is and a life of a person who is preparing for akhirat. So this is not the object of a person's life. Anyone who seeks something besides these two, then they have exceeded the bounds. Ulama right here, that included in here is homosexuality, lesbianism, masturbation, watching pornography, fulfilling your desires in all of these haram ways. This person is not a person of true iman. A person will be saved in the akhirat. So a person must look after himself and protect himself in his private path. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. A person who fulfills his amanat and trust, which he and pacts and promises which a person makes, all his business dealings, he's promised somebody certain things, he fulfills them. And وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ. They are very firm on the shahadat. When they give testimony in a court of law, or when they give some kind of shahadat and evidence, they speak the truth. They do not speak lies. And again, Allah Ta'ala mentions about salat. They are the people who are looking after their salat, making hifazat, hafizu ala salawati, looking after their salat, looking after their wudu, looking after the times of salat, looking after the sunnah muakkada before salat, the sunnah after salat, the nafal salat. They are looking after how they are performing their salah. So all of these things, ulaika fi jannati mukramun, they will be in the great gardens of jannat, and they will be given great honor in those places. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those people. In the next surah, Surah Nuh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions giving da'wat, the tariqah of the Anbiya alayhi salam, the fikr and concern which they had. Like Nuh alayhi salatu salam, what fikr and concern? And he went to his people, explained to them, but unfortunately they were stubborn. They actually put their fingers in their ears and were not prepared to accept. They covered themselves with their clothing and they remained steadfast. Nuh alayhi salatu salam told them, make istighfar, ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah will send rains upon you people in torrents. Allah will assist you people with wealth and children. Allah will grant you gardens. Allah will give you rivers. Many, many bounties Allah will give you just by making istighfar. Really, this is a very great amal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man lazim al istighfar. A person who holds firm unto istighfar. Ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli dhiqin makhraja. Any problem a person has got, Allah will take out, make a way out for him. Wa min kulli hammin faraja. Depression and worries a person has got, Allah will take him out from that. Wa razaqahu min haythu la yahtasib. And Allah will grant him rosy and sustenance from where he never ever thought possible. So we should try to make istighfar. And because many times it's our gunas and our sins which are preventing us. And Hazrat Mullah Ibrahim Dawla Sahib, Dawud Barakatum, has mentioned on amal that minimum 100,000 times a person did istighfar if a person has got some problem or whatever. And see how Allah will open up ways for a person. Many people who tried this amal also found it very beneficial. 100,000 times istighfar a person reads, Allah Ta'ala removes difficulties and calamities. And if you've got a bigger problem, carry on. Man lazim al istighfar. The hadith says, who holds firm unto istighfar, continue making istighfar. So we should be part of our life also every day, 100 times, 200 times, 500 times, to make istighfar in our lives. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. He went to his people. They were worshipping idols. And five main idols they had, Waddan, Wala, Suwa, Yahuth, Ya'uq, and Nasra. And these were great buzruks and pious people of the Bani Israel, of the people of Nuh alayhi salam, before his time, from the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And the people started venerating them and honoring them. And eventually they made a statue of them. And eventually, as the time went, these statues became idols and people started worshipping them as the generations went past. So, that's eventually what happens, this picture making and photographs, and people have got actually portraits in their homes and all of these things. So a person really should be very, very careful. It's completely forbidden to take photographs of even like naked, and to look at photographs of naked women and all of this immorality. But ulama say that to take photographs of buzruks and pious people is even a worse guna, I understand. Because the other one is a guna of lust and desires. It's completely haram. But a person knows it's wrong. And what I'm doing is wrong. But thus he feels it's a great form of worship. And sometimes people have in their homes. And they go make sajda to these people. To these buzruks. Or they go and they bow their head. In South Africa also it happens. Mufti Ibrahim Salaji Sahib, Dawud Barakatuh, mentioned in one bayan. That one of his children came back after the holiday. And he said, I went to my uncle's house. And in the house he went and he's bowing down before he goes to work. Every day he bows down before the picture. So this picture making way and way it leads the person to. So there are many other factors of hurmat and the prohibition of taking pictures. But this is one of the worst ones where it leads the person to shirk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from falling into shirk and to falling into these gunas. From the very roots Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut it off. They don't even go close to it. So a person is protected from all kinds of shirk and he doesn't go towards all of those evils. So in today's time with the cell phone, unfortunately, what gunas it leads the person to. And people are just wasting their time watching all of these things. And this completely destroys a person's akhlaq, it destroys a person's character, and at times it even destroys a person's iman. Allah protect us. The next surah is Surah Jinn. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Nuh mentioned Nuh alayhi salam into human beings. If a person has got a sound nature, then his nature is hard, then like Nuh alayhi salam, people never accepted. But the jinnat, their natures were soft. Salim al-fitra, their nature was sound. They accepted the da'wat of Nuh alayhi salam, of the jinnat. When they heard the Quran Sharif being recited by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they accepted the da'wat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they went back to their people and they gave them da'wat and they called them towards Islam also, and how many of them also accepted Islam. The next surah is Surah Muzammil. In Surah Muzammil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qualities of a da'i. When a person wants to have da'wat, give da'wat, then there are certain preparations he must make before giving the da'wat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a whole course of preparation at night, how he must stand up in tahajjud namaz. So physically, spiritually, he has to prepare himself. It's not just giving da'wat, the person just goes and gives da'wat. But before that, there's all effort, the spiritual preparation which a person makes before that day. He makes that tilawat of Qur'an al-Kareem. And Allah says, then in the daytime you have to go out and you've got a lot of effort to make. But now when you're standing at night, it's very hard against the nafs. It destroys and crushes the desires of the nafs. And it makes the person speak also the right words, which has an effect upon the person's heart. So it's a great amal of tahajjud namaz. And for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu, in the beginning portion of Islam, half the night, one third of the night, two thirds of the night, they had to stand up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually at the end of the surah mentions that the ummah will become very huge and vast, and people will have different occupations and needs. So now Allah has made it a bit easy for a person. It's no more farz and compulsory to stand up in tahajjud namaz. But wa aqimu salata wa atu zakah, your farz namaz at least perform the day. Give your zakat and give other charity in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you will send forward of goodness, you will find it in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much, much better. And the rewards are very, very great. But after doing all of those actions, wastaghfirullah. You perform salat, you read tahajjud namaz, you give zakat, ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. Because you can never fulfill the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. So the law of tahajjud now wasn't faraz anymore. But now it became a great sunnah, or it became a mustahab action, preferred action. A person must try to read his tahajjud salat. There are great, great virtues for reading tahajjud salat. But the command of compulsion, which was in the beginning portion of Islam, it was faraz for the Muslims to stand up for half the night, two-thirds of the night. This was abrogated after 1 year by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next surah, Surah Muddathir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about giving da'wat. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded, you have to give da'wat and all certain adab and etiquette. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will face much opposition, the kuffar and disbelievers, and eventually they will be completely destroyed. In Surah Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the day of Qiyamah and certain proofs about Qiyamah. And people, they, in their hearts, they know actually there is something like Qiyamah. But insanu ala nafsi basira. Man has got full insight over his nafs. Even though he puts forward many, many excuses and he tries to justify himself and say, no, why I'm doing this and why he's following his desires. But actually he's fooling himself and he will be completely destroyed. And that is a big qiyamah, and there is a small qiyamah before that. And that is every single person is about to pass away when the soul comes right to the shoulder bone. And now he's asking, where is the person who is going to come in the raq? The person who will come in jarfung, who will blow on me, who will make some wazifas upon me and try and save me. And then a person will realize there is no one to save him now and I am leaving this world. And at this time, he has to go on the long journey now back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where his sins will be joining together now with the pain. And then we all have to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is one big qiyamah, but there is a small qiyamah. Man mata faqad qamat qiyamatu. A person who passes away, his qiyamah has already taken place. So we must be prepared for the qiyamah. The last two surahs of the parah, Surah Dahar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the rewards of the pious people, what Allah bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for them in Jannat, and they had certain qualities, they would feed people for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not desiring any rewards also, in not even desiring shukr, thanks and gratitude. It's our duty, someone does a favor to us, to be grateful to that person. But that person himself, when we are doing an action, don't desire also a person must thank me, or a person must give me some badla, he must give me some recompense. So they had beautiful qualities in them. They used to fulfill their pacts and promises. They used to fear the day of Qiyamah. And they used to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them beautiful, beautiful bounties of Jannah. And in great detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the bounties of Jannah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for such people. And then the last surah, Allah ta'ala mentions the opposite. Those people who deny and who disbelieve in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite seeing clear, clear signs, eventually, وَيْلُ يَوْمَ إِذِ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ 10 times Allah repeated, destruction be on that day for those people who denied, who are not prepared to accept. What bounties of Jannat Allah has kept for them? Destruction. They didn't believe in it, they will be completely destroyed. It will be said to the people, كُلُوا وَتَمَتَّعُوا قَلِيلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُجْرِمُونَ. Eat and enjoy yourself for a short while. You people are sinners. You are not believing in Allah and the Rasul, and you are not believing in Akhirat. It's too late for a person. When he said, إِرْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ, make ruku, perform salat, or be humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person doesn't do so. So bi ayyi hadithin ba'dahu yu'minun. After you get in the Quran Kareem and you don't believe in the Quran Kareem, which other speech is the person never going to accept after the day? What clear signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How clearly Allah has explained all of these things. You are not prepared to accept, you are only destroying yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us to understand.